Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Revelation. Now to Pastor Chris.
Revelation 20, the millennium, the great white throne judgment. This chapter is huge, so I'll apologize now in case the time goes over. But we're talking heaven and hell here. Speaking of which, do you believe in heaven and hell? Does it make a difference if you do? C.S. Lewis said, "If heaven is real, nothing else matters. If heaven is not real, nothing matters at all." Think about that. And what about hell? Does it exist? Does it make a difference? Of course it makes a difference. That's like saying, does it make a difference whether life has consequences or not? Yes, consequences matter, and eternity matters a lot. It matters forever. See, we left off with a lot of people dead, judged on earth, their flesh destroyed. But what about after that? What happens to their souls? In chapter 19, we got just a glimpse of the second coming. Jesus returned to earth astride a great white horse, emblazoned across his thigh and on his robe, the title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. With him are his faithful servants, believers like me and you. The kings of the earth had gathered together at Megiddo for the great battle against the Lord, a battle which failed miserably. Now, if you don't think that people would gather to fight the Lord, you don't know people. Now the battle is over. Antichrist and his prophet are in the lake of fire. The armies are destroyed, but there is one more enemy that remains. Verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So this is the destiny of Satan, the Lord of lies, the accuser of the brethren, Lucifer. He is bound and put into the abyss. Now that's different from hell. You may recall that the abyss is a prison for demons only. But this one is not forever, not yet. At the end of verse 2, it is for 1,000 years. And again in verse 3, what is this 1,000 years? It's called the millennium. For 1,000 years, Jesus reigns on earth. This is what Jesus asked us to pray for. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now you should know there are several ideas about this millennium and how it plays out. Some say the word millennium is not in the Bible. That one is silly. Millennium means 1,000 years, which appears 6 times in this chapter. Some say the millennium is now, Jesus reigning spiritually, not physically. Still others say the millennium happens before Jesus comes back. The church sets it up. Now, you can read up on the arguments if you like. You can probably tell that I don't agree with any of those, but I really encourage you to read the Bible for yourself and ask what it says above what I say or anyone else. I try to read it the way it's written and believe the Bible means what it says. Again, I understand symbols and visions, but Bible symbols represent real things. And if you take the order here in Revelation in a straightforward way, we just saw Jesus coming, next chapter, millennium. I believe this is real, literal 1,000 years on earth, where Jesus reigns, physically, personally, here as king. Now the first thing we see here, in verse 3, Satan is locked up to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So Satan is gone, but he will come back. We'll see why in a moment. But in the millennium, things are right. No more deceptions and no more false religion or corrupt system. Jesus is king. But who are the people on earth then? If you follow the story, there are 2 groups. When Jesus returns on the white horse, with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Christians come back, but in resurrected bodies. We will be changed at the rapture. No more corrupted body, no more sinful nature. Also on earth are the survivors of the tribulation. Many died in judgment, but after 7 years, many are still alive. Same human bodies they started with. And not necessarily believers. So the first group, resurrected believers. Second group, survivors of the tribulation. Now let's see what else John tells us. Verse 4, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. Now these thrones are seats of authority and rule, all under Jesus' authority, of course. But Jesus will have a government. See, the millennium isn't heaven, it's earth ruled rightly. And Jesus promised believers that we would rule with him. Not lord it over you rule, Jesus style, servant leaders, righteous, truly good government. And then John sees the souls of the tribulation martyrs. In verse 4, they came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5 calls this the first resurrection. That means getting the new body, incorruptible. In other words, the tribulation martyrs join the pre-tribulation Christians. And in verse 6, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. That's how this works. First resurrection, no second death, and we will reign with him. Remember the parable of the talents. Be faithful with little things now, and he will trust you with bigger things then. But there will be a later resurrection. Back in verse 5, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. Non-believers who died before the millennium, they wait. Why wait? Because the millennium has a purpose. God will be demonstrating something about his righteousness, something that needs to be shown before final judgment. So what else do we know about the millennium? Well, scattered around the Bible, there are passages about a time on earth when things are right, really right, right in God's eyes, not just mine or yours. Jesus will reign, and the capital will be Jerusalem. Isaiah 2 describes the last days, when people from all over the world will come to visit Jerusalem, Mount Zion, to be taught by the Lord and to follow his ways. Isaiah describes it as a time without war, when swords are beaten into plowshares. Nations will still have their issues, but Jesus will settle matters and rebuke as needed, and people will live and thrive for a long time. In Isaiah 11, we find out that animals will change, and they'll all get along. Now, I love this part. If you love pictures of animals playing together, go read Isaiah 11. Wolves and lambs, leopards and goats, all of them back to herbivores so they don't eat each other, and little children can play with all of them. And Israel, the nation and the people, will be fully restored. Ezekiel 40, Zechariah 13, and more show a rebuilt temple and restored worship and feasts. Now, you can go study all of that, but here in Revelation, what happens next? Verse 7, when the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them for battle. 1,000 years of righteousness, and Satan is back, and he convinces a huge mass of people to go attack Jerusalem and God's people. Seriously, what is going on? Now remember, God doesn't force anyone to be a believer. Those who were not yet resurrected, tribulation survivors and their many descendants, still have free will. I believe this is the purpose of the millennium. God is demonstrating thoroughly that even if life is perfect, we still have the choice. We can't blame our circumstances, and those who choose not to trust in Christ choose to be deceived. The battle is fast. Fire comes down from heaven. Then and only then is it time for the final judgment. In verse 10, the devil is thrown into the lake of fire. This is the true hell, and it is torment forever and ever. In verse 11, then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. Now this is judgment day. God saves it for the very end. Every story is complete. Everything is known. Now, most Bible scholars see two different judgment seats, one for believers and one for non-believers. For believers, the judgment seat, or bema seat of Christ, is in 2 Corinthians 5. See, for believers, sin has already been judged, paid for at the cross. It's done. Thank you, Jesus, it is finished. The bema seat is about reward, not punishment. There at the judgment seat of Christ, our works will go through the fire and our motives revealed. Sin is gone, but our works will be rewarded. He will not forget the good. I think that one happens much earlier and determines our roles in the millennium. Now, this one is different, the great white throne. This one is about justice. In verse 11, earth and heavens flee. There's no place to hide anything. And then in verse 12, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The books, a complete record. Imagine a book that has everything on you. Every action, every word, every motive, everything. This has to be fair. Twice it says, each person was judged according to what they had done. If ever you feel that God is unfair, remember, he offers two simple choices, fair or forgiveness. On one hand, exactly, completely, righteously fair, according to your works, or forgiven. Jesus pays the price. Take forgiveness, and your name is written here in the book of life. Jesus said, rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Turn that offer down, and you stand alone. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire.